from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Why don't you introduce yourself, you jerk?
I am the one who is laughing at you. I am Ryan Harkness. I play your co-host on thegoodatheist.net.
What? I've been saying thegoodatheist.net for a while now, haven't I?
No. This is brand new. That's why it stuck out so much. Just welcome to the Good Atheist. My name
dot
is
net. Dot net. It's dot net. Dot net. Visit dot net.
Why? Is it because the Good Atheist is also a website?
Well, yes, it is a website, sir. And you know what? For about a year, it's been a little bit neglectful. My whole idea was actually to just make the site in order to be able to post stuff that would eventually, hopefully, I thought, would become my book. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that the podcast really kind of took off, but I kind of neglected mm-hmm. Both, but more importantly, neglected the website, which I've now, stopped doing.
Yes.
So that's actually the first thing I wanted to mention is kind of a reminder to people who like the podcast, but who've never actually bothered to check out the site.
Or have bothered, but then got annoyed by the fact that it was never updated by Jake.
Yeah.
And then I started doing it for a bit, but then I'm like, meh.
Well, you know what? One of the things that I
can barely be bothered to put on pants, let alone update.
It's true. I mean, we have other things that we're doing, but one of the big pushes that I've been trying to do is because originally I'd written about a third of a book that at least that's what I thought was going to end up being the gist of what I wanted to say, and it's since changed. But it's not as though the things in the book aren't interesting. Mm-hmm. They're just not the where I want the book to go. I felt that it was a bit too much like every other book.
And it's not what thegoodatheist.net is all about.
It's not. But you know what? Basically what I've been doing is I've been taking a lot of those really interesting parts of the book and I've been putting them on the site, writing interesting articles. I wrote one article about how environmentalism isn't a religion in response mm-hmm. to a lot of the stuff out there. So I've been trying really hard to make it content that people want to read, and one of the things that I've noticed is actually the people who go on, mm-hmm. they don't just read one article; they'll read like
every article,
a lot of articles, and that's kind of like that's speaking to the fact that I'm not writing dated stuff. I'm not going to give you news. I'm going to give you some really interesting articles that I'm coming across or that I've written before in the past. So check it out. That's the first part.
Second part of the first part being, if you're one of those atheists on the atheist webs and you go out to different places, you should spread the word and tell people about us because apparently we're not allowed to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Are you going to talk about that a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, actually that was my second point. One of them was a story that appeared in Salon.com. It was an article on the subject of whether or not religious people are nicer than atheists. And the article basically says that, yes, religious people are nicer, but it's not because they're religious. It's because they have a feeling of being in a community, and they're just not as grumpy. So the thing is, I mean, the Salon.com article mentioned that it was actually that part of the blame could be laid on religious institutions by saying, like, look, you guys are making these people feel like shit, and that's why they're grumpy. Mm-hmm. Now, I actually wrote something about this myself, and I do believe that generally atheists are pretty grumpy.
But wait a second. I mean, didn't we also come to the conclusion that the logic that was used in the scientific quote-unquote experiments was actually really like what they tried to do was how they laid it out and the conclusions they came to were these gigantic leaps in.
Well, I didn't want to make that statement because I wanted to really read up on the study, but it mm-hmm. turns out that I'd have to pay money to be like part of that the website, the science. I forget, it's like a place where you go see people's papers and theses.
Yeah.
But you got to be a paying member. I don't want to pay.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to read it, but like honestly, I don't want to pay. The article made it sound like it was pretty weak, but I didn't want to just judge a study that I hadn't completely read.
This is true.
You know, we have been accused in the past of not doing our research. I didn't really want to go down that road.
Very nice, very nice. But okay, so you're saying that atheists are more miserable than religious people because we don't have a community.
It's partly that. You know what? I think one of the points that I want to get to, and we're going to get to this in another talking point that I brought up, but it's the fact that I think that there are good times when we can be, angry And there are some just times where we should lighten the fuck up. And the problem, I think, is that a lot of atheists are finding it difficult to move from one to the other. You know, when is righteous indignation proper? And when can you just lighten the hell up and just accept that sometimes you just kind of got to laugh at yourself? And that's the problem. Like, a lot of atheists are just not capable of doing so. And most of those that aren't able to, they're really vocal. They're the kinds of people that go on every single website, leave their opinions. They're figured, I gotta educate people. I'm gonna convince people of this, and I'm just like, I've come to appreciate the fact that, you know, sometimes we just need to chill the hell out.
Well, here's the thing. Let me just give it to you back in this way. The most vocal people about religion and atheism and stuff like that are gonna care about everything, because if they didn't care, they wouldn't bother to write up on anything. And we have it all the time. We have those other blogs that are about unimportant crap, and we write stuff about that we care about, but everyone's like, why do you give a damn? Like, you gotta lighten up and stop caring. But it's like, these people's role is to be outraged and to point out the reasons why things that are happening are crap.
Oh yeah, but I'm not denying those. In fact, I gotta say, good on you for everybody who does that. Anybody who's got a blog out there who writes anything about it, who about any issue that they feel is important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for sure, I'm not going to stop people. I'm not going to tell them, don't do that. But the example that I cited was a comic that I had done, that I'd made.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like kind of like one of those Apple ads, but one guy saying, hi, I'm a creationist. And I said, the other guy was like, hi, I'm an evolutionist. Now, a lot of people, when I posted up the cartoon, it was just meant to be funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end, the guy basically, the guy who believes in evolution calls the other guy an idiot. Mm-hmm. That's the whole joke, because he goes on this long rant about what he believes, and the other guy's like, what do you believe? Well, I believe that you're stupid, which was basically the joke.
Yeah.
Now, a bunch of people that were saying, like, well, I don't like the word evolutionist here using this. It is derogatory, and it is used by creationists. And it was just conversations on and on about how I should have changed that. One guy wanted me to change it to, hi, I'm a rational individual who's looked at all the evidence. I'm like, what? Could we calm the hell down? Like, that was the whole thing, where you put something out there for just people to laugh at, and the immediate response was, well, I don't believe you conveyed the point strongly enough, and I think that creationists could use that cartoon to try to promote this. And I'm like, buddy, it's a cartoon. That's what it is. There's a reason why there's geeky little colors, and one of the guys had obvious fake-looking hairdo. You know, it's just meant as a joke.
Yeah, and you're surprised at all this, yet every single time with the radio show and stuff like that, there's always people who are saying that we're the exact same thing. It's like, it's entertainment. It really is.
That's difference that I want to just sort of mention. Like, the idea that, you know, when we do a show, most of the time, like a good atheist podcast, I think people who listen to it and realize it say, these guys are just, they'll say one or two points are important, but most of the time they're just fucking around. And there's nothing wrong with fucking around. Can we just chill the hell out? Like, that's what I'm saying. Take a chill pill. Take a chill pill. Not every conversation about atheism has to be like the most hardcore, like, I need to convince these people that they're wrong.
It's like, this could be a thesis, but we're just going to jam it out on the radio. Enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so one of the things that I wanted to talk about, the second part that I wanted to talk about, and this is...
Wait, I thought this is the second part of the second thing.
Okay, no, wait, now this is the third part. Is it third part? Third part.
I don't know. You messed
third
me
part.
Up.
I don't know. Like, okay, I didn't break it down into parts. I just broke it down into talking points.
Okay.
My third talking point...
At thegoodatheist.net.
At thegoodatheist.net. Be sure to visit the site. There's this piece of news. Now, I think that this is justified in being really incensed about it. You know, like, I'm talking being mad, being real mad. And this is news coming out of Afghanistan, in Kabul, where two girls were blinded when two men on motorcycles fired water pistols filled with acid at a group of girls walking to school. The motivation behind the crime was obviously religion. The Taliban militants objected to the education of women, which they considered forbidden. This was the same day that a suicide bombing that occurred near a government building, killing and wounding several civilians, including women and children. So it was not a good day in Afghanistan. Two of those girls, like I said before, were blinded by acid.
But really, when is it a good day?
I don't know. I don't even know what their good day is. Like, no one died today. What a good day.
But yesterday someone did, and 3 days later someone will
do. And my sister was blinded. This really pisses me off. I mean, Obviously, we know why these guys hate educating women. Apparently, that's in the Quran, it's definitely not suggested that you do educate your women. That's dangerous. You know, apparently they can't handle.
Definitely not suggested. What?
No, it's definitely suggested that they shouldn't educate them.
Oh, okay.
Basically, if I'm not mistaken, they're. Portions, depending on which Quran you read, obviously, because not every single Quran is the same.
Yeah,
this is one of these things that I've come to appreciate, the fact that, you know, when trying to look for quotes in the Quran, good luck, because I have got one myself, and it doesn't cooperate with any of the quotes that I've seen, because I got a different version.
Yeah,
oh,
your version of the Quran, you bought at Chapters, and it has a picture of a flower,
yeah.
Or Borders, if you're in America, that's what Chapters is down there. But it's got a flower on the front, and it's not the same Quran that crazy
the Taliban read.
The Taliban.
Yeah, if they read my Quran, I think that they'd probably be some pretty big peaceniks.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, no, that's not every single version. I mean, it's
well, is that something that we're going to talk about? The fact, because we were discussing this yesterday, or the day before that, I don't know. But
as to why there are so many different versions?
No, not just that, but just in the fact that for the most part, Bible's got it down pretty hardcore, where you've got small differences between all of them, because King James came along and was like,
that's it, this is the English version,
I'm sick of there being 50 freaking versions, I'm gonna make one, and then he made one, and that was the one. So it's like, whoa, that's pretty impressive. But I guess no one really did that with the Quran, did they?
I think the problem actually has more to do with how you translate it, because it's not. The thing is, it's in ancient Arabic, which means that a lot of the times, one word, it's written, it could be interpreted in a lot of different ways, right? There are no, it's not a direct translation. It's not as though you can say, well, this is, you know, back then this was a water jug, so obviously this is a glass. It's not something as clear as that, where one thing you can say, it literally translates to an internal struggle with God, and another one is an external struggle or a jihad against the infidels, you know what I mean?
Or one line could say, like, love your women, and the other one could be like, don't let the another interpretation of that could be, don't let them out of their house, don't let them uncover their faces and splash acid in their face.
Exactly, and that's the really fucked up part, and that's why, you know, most of the fighting that happens, you know, between Sunni and Shiite and all these other, and Kurds, you know, a lot of it has to do not only with the secession
of Muhammad,
but also with interpretation of the text themselves. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see that all the time. I mean, Protestants and Catholics had a similar thing. They didn't even disagree necessarily about how the Bible should be arranged,
they
but they disagreed about how it
lazy,
should be.
How lazy they should be about practicing stuff.
Yeah, how hardcore they should be.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's one battle. But religion's like that all the time. Splinter groups always come up. Anything that's open to interpretation is obviously going to be interpreted in a million different ways. Mm-hmm. And especially when you got an ancient language that no one can really say for certain that they can fully understand what the intent was.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty scary thing when you think about it, because I'm sure, like, I've never read the really hardcore version of the Quran. You know, it's not as though they're made available to us at all times. Oh, sneezing boy. But, yeah, because the versions that we get are these really, really
lovey-dovey.
They
new,
are so
new
lovey-dovey.
Age.
I couldn't even find, I read a third of it, and I couldn't even find any passages.
That's saying kill all infidels.
No, I couldn't find that at all. I was like, where are these guys getting their quotes? And the chapters were even arranged differently. I'm like, I don't have a chapter called Sedina. Well, what the fuck is this? So, yeah, I didn't realize it. I thought I was making a good investment, but it turns out that I got the pussy version of the Quran. I'm really not interested in that one.
As I said, you should have a big flower petal on the front of
it. I should have known, but it was kind of a... I shouldn't have gone for the more attractive one. I should have known better.
Yeah, you really should have.
I should have gone on the one that looked torn and like a blood splatter on it.
There you go.
That was the Quran that I should have bought.
There you go.
I guess, you know, in this whole thing, what really bugs me too, I mean, beyond that whole interpretation fact, is the idea that you'll talk to a really... not a fundamentalist Muslim, but say sort of like their version of an Orthodox Muslim. Somebody who's really follows the Quran and really wants his wife to walk two paces behind him, that kind of stuff, and be veiled. And they'll always tell you, well, we do this to protect them. We're trying to protect women. The idea is basically this, that if they showed off their beauty, that men would go nuts and rape them. Apparently, you know, they're really unleashed or something like that.
So it certainly seems like it. I mean, you figure you have these people tamped down so hardcore, they're not allowed to fuck anything. So the first chance they have, they see some hot chick, and it's like, they're just going to go. I mean, I'm not going to say, obviously, that that's a,
that's cool, a
realistic situation. But, I mean, you got to understand, when these people are so wound up, that this stuff does happen from
time to time. Well, it's not just a matter of being wound up. Like, it was like I read in Infidel, where the girl...
What's Infidel?
It's a book by, what's her name? Ariane C. Anyway, she was that girl who basically...
Ariane Miz-Miniman.
She's got one of those really difficult names to pronounce. It's in her library. It's Ayan Hirisi... I can't fucking pronounce it. I'm sorry. I'm not doing this woman any service. Anyway, she wrote a book called Infidel.
You can find
it. And
it
talks
that.
About her experience... going from in Sudan, going from you know, being really religious to, you know, dropping her religion, mm-hmm. But she talks about how she took a lot of pride in wearing like the really thick gowns, because there are different types of gowns you can wear. They're the really 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 thick ones that just hide everything.
Uh-huh.
And those that didn't wear those, you know, there was a perception attached to it. It was like, ooh, this is a loose woman. She's showing a bit of ankle, and you know they'll make There's that perception saying, well, here she is walking around without a man, and she's not wearing like a headdress. She must be a prostitute, so it's okay to rape her. So, mm-hmm. You know, there is that. There kind of is already that unspoken.
But it's only a self fulfilling kind of thing.
It is.
Where it's like, if they show anything else, they'll be raped, and that is because it says it's okay that we do that.
It's a weird conundrum. It's a catch-22 in essence. It's almost as though you're forced to wear it because. Not wearing it makes a statement that you really don't want to make, but it's the more, you know, the question is should that statement even be on the table?
Inherent.
Obviously not, but it already is there, so I can try beating on my chest all I want, saying this is wrong. But you got to deal with the reality of the situation, right? It's pretty fucked up, but that's what they think. They're like, well, I am trying to protect my wife or my daughter, and this is the only way to protect them from doing so. What seems completely and utterly backwards to me is obviously when they're here and they think that that's necessary. I'm like, look, dude, no one's going to rape your wife if she's not wearing a, you know, hijab. Okay, we're somewhat civilized here. You don't really need to do it. The justification for it is obviously not there anymore when you're not part of that society.
But then the justification goes past that, where they're saying, well, past that point, it is also just what we do is because we practice our faith, and this is part of practicing our faith, and that's how we do it, you know? It's not like, maybe, who knows, back in the day, the Jews used to keep the skull cap on for some practical reason, but over here they don't need it anymore.
Well, you know, if you're balding and there's a really big, you know, and the sun is really hot, maybe that's the only way to prevent you from having skin cancer, having a skull cap. Think about it.
Maybe.
It looks like it was designed for balding men. Seriously, though. I mean, it just covers up that back thing. Like the big hole.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have worn a whole hat, but that way you still look like you have a full head of hair when you wear one of those. If it matches your hair color. This is a trick.
The point that I'm trying to make is that these people aren't doing this just for, you know, whatever ridiculous practical reason they've cooked up in their head. It's also just a manifestation of their faith.
Yeah, it's their tradition, too. I mean... even a person who's not religious might still choose to wear it.
Look at this. Just go back, like, you know, 50 years and take a look at how we used to treat women. I mean, the perception... I mean, before the World Wars happened and before women got basically thrust into all of these jobs, people used to think that their periods made them so unstable that you could never let them get the reins of a business ever, because they would ruin it. They'd be on their period and a guy would come in and be like, hey lady, give me the business for a dollar, and the woman would be like, oh, I'm so crazy,
I'm crying all the time.
Exactly, that is exactly
we do have amnesia here, don't we? We tend to kind of forget, saying like, look at our enlightened position. This enlightened position's been around for barely half a century.
Yeah, you gotta remember the fact that we used to be just as pig-headed about the whole women's situation.
Pretty messed up.
And to a good degree, I mean, we've just replaced what we think of women then with new ideas of women that are just as fucked up.
Like what? Give me a good example.
I can't even... I mean, just the perception of women if they sleep around. Compare the perception of women if they sleep around compared to men.
Sure.
I mean, we don't have... what do we have? We have man whore. Guys get called man whore. But being called a man whore is like a joke.
Being called man whore is actually, for some, a badge of pride.
I know, but so look at when you're talking about women. I mean, how many words do you have to insult a woman who has sex with your whore, slut, There's more. I know there's a lot more. There's definitely countless more. Go onto YouTube.com and look at any video of a girl.
Go to Urban Dictionary. That's probably a better.
Yeah, exactly. It's just the perceptions are completely different. And we've talked about this before. Remember bringing up a nice bit of a film school film right here for you guys.
But
Starship Troopers. Take a look at they brought in Denise Richards to play a girl. That they wanted to sell it, and Paul Verhoeven, who's an interesting guy, and he makes some interesting movies.
He definitely does.
He decided that he wanted one of the main chicks to act like a dude, to be as callous to the dude in the movie as a man would be to the woman.
Well, the character of Casper Van Dien is closer to what you would expect a woman to mm-hmm. behave. You know, joining the army to be with the girl.
To follow the girl. And
then all of a sudden he gets dumped when the girl chooses career over him. So it's a nice little, you know, switcheroo
he's
there.
He's more way into her than and she's yep. sleeping around. And
oh, yeah.
So it was a really interesting little subplot in there that nobody freaking noticed. But everyone was just like, Denise Richards is a slutty bitch. I hate her. And it's true. When I watched them, like, I hate her guts so much. But I got so much respect for the fact that the director put her in as kind of like a conversation piece about why women can't act the way men act.
It's roles in this like sexual roles, because in the movie men and women sort of take showers in the army together, and there doesn't mm-hmm. seem to be a big deal. Mm-hmm. And it's not as though, even though it's a dystopic fascist society, they are enlightened, quote unquote, with how they deal with women. So it's kind of messed up, right?
Yeah.
You can have a society that is backwards, not even backwards, that is evil and corrupt, but still treat women better.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't turn around and say this is a better society because they're treating them fairly. You'd still be like, well, this is pretty messed up.
Yeah.
But it just proves that a society can get some things wrong and some things right.
Yeah.
That no one has it all right, but at the same time, and this is my basic argument for, say, how people in the Muslim world sort of treat women, is the fact that, look, although no one society, no one culture can say, well, we are much more enlightened on all aspects, it's difficult to deny that one can have it better than the other.
Oh, yeah. No,
one
absolutely.
Person can really... It's just like in science, you know? If you're using Newtonian physics, but I'm using Einstein physics,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to get closer to figuring out how shit works. Mm-hmm. You know, you're still a little bit backwards. They're both functional, but one is a lot better. It's a better tool. And
yeah.
I think that culture needs to be looked at in the same kind of way. It's a dangerous thing for people to do, because all of a sudden you're like, shit... You know, I don't like the idea that I could put my own culture to be judged.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I think that is necessary. You have to look at how your culture does it right and where it does it wrong. And I just don't think that a lot of cultures are willing to do that, because it says some pretty scary things about, you know, about them. And the fact that if you admit that you're wrong about some shit, you got to change. And a lot of people, they don't like change.
Mm-hmm.
Change is a really, really scary thing.
Yeah.
I mean... Women going to school is a change, and what do people do? They take fucking water guns, they fill it with acid, and they burn the faces of women because they're like, I'm going to send a message. Don't get yourself educated, women, because I will burn your face with acid. Congratulations. That's
insanity.
Really good.
Insanity.
Thank you for combating change like that. That makes you a really good human being. I hope you went back to your fucking cave and felt pretty good about yourself, huh, you sack of shit.
Now, that was just a racist stereotype right there.
I can't help it. I got mad.
I know, but that's, you know what, the problem with what you just said kind of plays up this idea that people think that these people do, oh kitty, that these people do live in caves.
Well,
and
actually,
it's like
actually, no, Taliban terrorists literally do live in caves. This is not an actual like they do.
But
they live in caves in order to be able to.
I know, but you know what?
Conduct.
People read these stories and they figure, okay, they cook up a picture in their head. These women, there's like a group of five women walking across the desert. Bleakness, rocks, and small lizards crawling around. And then, you know, these guys on dirt bikes drive up to them and then spray them with acid. And it's like, you gotta understand, this is like probably in a town. Or, you know, even a freaking city or something like that. This is
advanced.
I mean, they're going to a school for women. It
you,
can't
no,
be in
actually,
the middle
you
of nowhere.
Really, you really have to understand just how not well-developed Afghanistan is. It's so bad that when they were fighting the Russians, they didn't even have roads, okay? They had donkeys walking around. Like, Afghanistan is one of the most underdeveloped places in the world. There's still people living in caves, buddy. I'm except, not shitting
except,
you.
Except for pockets.
Mud huts. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy over there. Like, when one town to the other doesn't actually have a main road going to it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy. I mean, but the thing about Afghanistan that's interesting, too, is that you'll never see landscapes like that because they're mostly untouched. Mm-hmm. When you go to places like even in China or United States, it's rare that you'll find some place that hasn't been altered by man. Mm-hmm. But that's what Afghanistan is. It is literally a country that has not had a lot of
influence. No one has done anything to it.
No, there's barely any work that's been put in that place. And it's really, like I said, I mean, a significant portion of the terrorists live in caves. It makes it difficult for them to be tracked. Since they're not in a town, and it's really safe from bombs and all sort of kind of stuff because you're under, you know, miles of rock.
I concede this point to you, good sir.
Okay, but I mean, I will admit that there was a bit of sort of like angry backlash, but man, it's just that shit does fucking anger me. Like the mentality of people who do that is the same mentality of individuals that would very much like to return to sort of like this caveman style, saying like, we have a religion and we live in a cave and that's good enough for me.
Well, what's funny is that back when I was doing some posting for the goodatheist.net,
be sure to visit.
I was saying that I wasn't going to post anything about politics or about like stuff like that where people get acid sprayed on them in Afghanistan, because it's like stuff like that happens every day. Every single day somewhere in the third world and buttfuck nowhere, someone gets buried up to their neck and they have rocks thrown at their face for, you know, daring to walk alone or this or that or any other thousand of reasons why you can get murdered in these places, because the Quran apparently says it, but not in the version we have.
Man, you know what? We gotta fucking fly over there and drop down our Quran.
I know, seriously. Does Doubleday know that they just have to release an edition out there and it's gonna make the world a better place?
Yep, exactly. Like, this is the westernized version. They just write it in Arabic, they won't even know.
Yeah,
It'll be fine.
So that's one of those cases where people do have to be angry. They do have to be upset. Because me, I've already hit that point where I'm like, it's a lost cause caring about stuff that happens like this, because these people will always act like this over there.
See, that's a racist attitude. Mm-hmm. See, where my racist attitude is basically you're a barbarian and you live in a fucking cave. Mm-hmm. Your racist attitude is like, we can't help these people. We like need to quarantine them off and let them kill each other like dogs.
Hey,
now
that was...
Okay,
that
okay,
was,
that's putting words in your mouth. That's putting words in your mouth. But when you give up on people, mm-hmm. I mean, you're basically saying like there's nothing redeemable about you. Why should I waste my breath? You can't even understand what I'm saying. I'm like, do you think a person over there doesn't appreciate life as much as the other person? I just think that those who really don't appreciate life are more vocal with their guns.
This is that racist thing where, didn't we have a discussion about the value of life in places like India, where an Indian soap star can drive over like an alleyway full of like 30 kids while he's drunk, and he just runs over them like boom, 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 like driving. You know, in universities they have those sections where it's like 7 speed bumps in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like boom, 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 boom,
boom. That's
and then he drives off, and he gets off because he's going to make the sequel to the most popular Indian movie in the fucking country. So they let him off without him going to jail after he runs over literally 20 orphan children.
But here's where I think that it's not a matter of the perception of life. It's just that those people who are in power value life less. Like a mother whose kid was killed by that is going to feel just as bad as a mother who's...
No mothers, orphans.
Okay,
orphans.
Well, all right. The people who are taking who take in orphans, okay, like for instance, like they'll be just as flabbergasted. Mm-hmm. But it's
Mother Teresa.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd use her. Remember, Mother Teresa was obsessed with pain, and it must have been painful to be run over by a car. Mm-hmm. But okay, look, there's no doubt that how society values life again has a lot to do with its culture. In India, I mean, there was a certain segment of the population which was considered less valuable than others, the untouchables. Mm-hmm. It's still somewhat like that over there. Mm-hmm. But again, this is a discussion about the relative value of culture and how they place the rights of individuals compared to other individuals.
Yeah.
And this is where, say, for instance, when you look at the in the U.S., like they're spearheading movement to sort of like for equity among all men, which was obviously curtailed by slavery.
And,
whoops, fuck that up.
Yeah.
And even their attitudes of women But nevertheless, and looking at that first step.
Don't forget homos.
And homos. But that first step of making that declaration is a pretty significant declaration, considering the fact that in the history of mankind, we haven't had that agreement in some time. We're just like, equal? What are you fucking kidding me? I'm better than that guy. I'd kill that. I'd kill you.
Yeah.
You are valueless. But we their influence, the growing influence of the United States has, I think other countries have adopted that because I think they've realized, they've looked at their own culture, they realized, shit, you know, we don't value
this
life on an equal level.
This obviously isn't working as well as the other countries where they aren't acting like assholes.
Exactly. So, I think that it's one of those slow things. You really do have to get people to appreciate the value of life. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing in Afghanistan as it is in India. But they're not lost causes. We just need to convince them that it's the right way. And you don't do that by dropping bombs on them. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, cultural... revolutions are a better way than you know, a bomb.
I agree. Okay, I can agree with you on that.
All right, I guess with that we're going to wrap the show up. Yeah, obviously, reminding people to go to the site.
I guess we went on a pretty crazy tangent there, didn't we?
It was enjoyable. I think everybody's going to enjoy that tangent.
Groovy.
All right. Again, go visit the site, please. Bookmark it. I think you're going to really enjoy it. If you enjoy the podcast, at least you're going to enjoy the website. And why really not increase pleasure? Increase pleasure!
Actually, you might not enjoy it more because I'm not involved.
Oh, you'll enjoy it way more. So much more that you'll never listen to the podcast again.
The truth of the matter is Jake is just upping the involvement in the website so he can cut down on my influence in all of this. So he can, so I get less money when he cuts some kind of crazy book deal.
It's true, and I worked on a new logo, and you're not in it, bitch. It's just me.
I noticed.
You're being cut out. It too didn't fit well in the picture.
It would have looked weird.
It would have looked
a
little bit weird.
It's the good atheist, not the good atheist.
It's not just that. It's the fact that also when drawn in cartoon version, we look too similar. We look like twins.
It's true.
Literally twins. Same haircut, same fucking glasses, everything.
Yep.
It's just ridiculous.
Yep.
All right, with that, I am Jacob Fortan.
And I am the more handsome twin, Ryan Harkness.
And you know what?